Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good morning and welcome everyone to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Who Lead. And with me today, we have a phenomenal leading lady. I'm delighted to say that we have the lovely, who I've known for a long time, out of full disclosure, Wanda Allen, who is the owner of Follow-Up Sales Strategies, someone that I have seen progress magnanimously in business since her days in commercial banking. And our topic today is on following up in business. So, Wanda, good morning. Are you there with us?
I am. Thanks. Good morning, Michelle.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to have you on the show, because not only is Wanda, for our listeners this morning, not only is Wanda a new book author, she is a two-time book author, and her new book is called Follow-Up Strategies, How to Get More Clients and Close More Sales with a follow-up system. And I think you could say how to just, you know, get more clients and close more sales, but the fact that you added the and have a follow-up system is what I'm hoping we can talk about today, because don't you find that typically the biggest thing that's lacking with so many people in the sales system? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so follow-up is a part of the sales process, and it's so critical, but it's that one piece that's easy not to do. And people struggle with it because they don't know how often to follow up, when they should start, when they should stop, and it's because they don't have systems in place. When you systems and processes are our best friends, and many people are resistant to them. But the beauty of systems is that they create timelines and boundaries and structure, and they put us in the flow of ease. And when you have systems in place, that's what you're guided by. You're guided by your systems. So oftentimes with follow-up, people tend to get very emotional about follow-up. I don't know if I should call. I'm not sure if they're interested. I don't want to bother them. I feel like I'm a pest. You know, all these thoughts go into their head, which create emotions. And what if you get too emotional, it can stop one from taking action. And when you're in that space, you're being guided by your emotions. Whereas when you have systems in place, your emotions go by the wayside because you're guided by your systems.
So I have to say, I like that, Wanda, because, you know, so many owners I talk to, and for our listeners, you know, I think as women, you know, because we do kind of like turn things and make them personal. I'm just going to say, I can say that I'm a woman. If it was a man on the show, there'd be no way they could say that. But we as women, I think so many times I hear, and I struggle with this as well, such a follow up, oh, you know, I'm going to be a pain in the neck, or, you know, I'm going to be like, you know, following up again, they're going to get sick of me, or I can't believe how emotional it gets. So you're saying, if I'm hearing you, and maybe you could give us a couple of tips for our listeners, how is it that you can take the emotion out of it? How does a system do that? That's what I'm curious about.
Okay, so there's a three-prong answer there. The first step in getting the emotions out of the way is you have to have follow-up a conversation. So when I hear somebody say, I don't know, I'm not sure, I feel like, I know immediately there's been no follow-up conversation. So you, every time you're talking to a prospect, you have to end the conversation or in the meeting, would it be okay if I followed up? Because if they don't sign or buy in that meeting or on that phone call, that means you're going to have to follow up. But you have to ask, would it be okay if I followed up? And they're going to say yes. But you can't stop there. Then you're going to say, when would be a good time? And they're going to tell you. And so you're going to leave that meeting or hang up that phone call with no question mark in your head. And when there's uncertainty, that's kind of opens the door for emotion to start coming in. So the follow-up conversation is key. And then you, when you follow up with them, you're going to remind them that they said this would be a good time to follow up. Then you're going to, the heart of all systems is your CRM. It's contact relationship management. You have to have a CRM. You're going to go into that system. You're going to put in the conversation that took place and the date that you're going to follow up. And that system, when you're using your CRM, that is what guides you. Oh, today's a day. Sally asked me to follow up in a week, and then you're going to pick the phone up and follow up. So there's no discomfort because you've gotten permission. And then if Sally says, oh, you know what, Michelle, I have been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to think about it. Can you give me another couple of weeks? Well, you're going to say, would it be okay if I followed up? Sure. When would be a good time? Give me a couple of weeks. And then you're going to go back to your system, your CRM, and you're going to document what took place. You're going to update the reminder date, the task reminder date, and then you're done. So if
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, let me interject on that one, because I do hear so many women that will say, it's like, I don't know what to say when I follow up. I don't, you know, I mean, is that something that you suggest people script out so that they know exactly what it is? Because I have to say, I don't think, I always ask somebody, when they tell me on the phone, and they'll say, oh, not now, or it's not a good time for me to bite or buy or whatever, you know, I just instinctively, I put them in a few months out, and it's like I follow up. I mean, if I'm interested in doing business with them, it's how I look at it. But what if you don't, do you think it's that critical to ask the question, is it okay if I follow up? Because in some cases, you'd be like, why would you ask that? I'm kind of curious.
Well, if they say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to move forward at this time, then what? Here's what will be the deciding factor in how you move forward. If that is a prospect that you've invested time into to where you've actually established a relationship, you can't let that prospect go. And that's what so many people do. They get told no, and then they drop the prospect. Well, life changes. What used to be too inconvenient, too much, or not the right time can change to next week, next month, next quarter. So, and then they're going to be in need of your services. So if it's somebody that you've invested in, that you actually have a relationship, so if you're going to say, you know, I respect your decision, I'm not moving forward, and I really appreciate the time you've given me, and I've enjoyed getting to know you, would it be okay if I stayed in periodic touch? And then you stay in periodic touch. Maybe let's say you do that quarterly. And you stay,
That's a good suggestion. I think, because again, when you look at how people follow up, I mean, it is the number one thing I think people don't do, because they feel like if somebody says no, in my mind, I'm hearing not now. So you're kind of like a little disease. Until you tell me to go away, I'm going to stay in there. But, you know, people's time and missions, like what are some of the things that you would suggest if people have a CRM? I embrace what you're saying on that one. So many people, I mean, post-it notes, folders and pieces of paper are not going to work here. Am I right? I mean, is there, and if somebody doesn't have a CRM, because I actually do know some people that are like that, that are fabulous salespeople, but they're not that regimented on their CRM. Is that a kind of deal breaker for you as far as success?
Yeah, I believe it is, because you're only going to get so far if you're using any other systems like a spiral notebook on your desk, sticky notes, email, your head, which is where a lot of people try to file away their follow-up information. You're only going to get so far before it becomes overwhelming and unmanageable. And in this day and age that we live in, CRMs, there's nothing can replace using a CRM. It's just critical. It's automated. Your CRM is your assistant who never forgets anything.
and
tells you who you need to contact and when. And using it is nothing more than a habit. That's, you know, people tell me, I don't have time to use my CRM. Well, come on. Okay, so you're going to use a spiral notebook, and somebody's going to tell you, call me, follow up with me in 3 weeks. How many pages are you going to have to flip through in that spiral notebook when the 3 weeks comes, if you even remember at all? Now, how much time is that going to take? So we complicate situations in our head, and we make them more difficult than they are. It's the old, the anticipation is far worse than the actual event or action. It's the same idea.
That or the definition of insanity. Let's just keep doing what we're not doing in follow-up, and, you know, we'll we'll hope for different results. But, you know, for those that are, I mean, I can think of Salesforce, I can think of Zoho CRM, some of those CRM solutions. Let's say somebody says, okay, I appreciate I need to get out of the paper and the Post-it notes. What would be a kind of first stage CRM that you might recommend? Or do you? I'm not sure. Do you recommend those kind of things for some of our listeners? Would you recommend a step one?
Yeah. You've got to find a system that works for you and that's user-friendly for you. They all generally offer the same thing. And some of them, you know, have a lot of bells and whistles with this techie world that we're in today. But that can be overwhelming and intimidating, especially if you're not a techie. So I always say less is more with a CRM, because all you really need it for is you need it. It houses your contact information. You need to have a good note section so you can document the conversations. And it needs to have the ability to have multiple reminder task dates. In its simplest form, that's all you really need to be a master at follow-up. Now, will it sync to your Outlook? Is there an app? Can I email from it? You know, then you can go on from there. But when you're starting out, all you need is, can I keep my contact information there? Where's my note section? And I need reminder dates. That's it. If you just use those three features, you're in. Nobody's going to get forgotten about. That's the other beauty of a CRM. When you use it, it is impossible to forget about anyone. It's impossible because your CRM, that's your assistant, remember, who keeps telling you you need to contact this person.
And I like that. And I think, you know, you're right. The emotion part is good to take out of it. But I'm going to kind of go a little personal here with you. And that is, how did this whole concept of following up come about for you? Because I know you come from commercial banking. You know, that's how you and I know each other. And, you know, now you're a superstar that travels the country and you're on your second book and it's published. And we'll talk about how some of our listeners can get access to that. But how did this whole follow-up, you know, kind of thing come about for you? Because it's great. It's like it's one center focus on the sales process that I think probably 9 times out of 10, everybody drops the ball on this. And I'm saying that myself included. You know, I mean, if I can change one thing, the follow-up could probably change my whole business. So just saying that out there. Everybody hear me, but that's where I'm at. How did you come up with this genius idea that this is the area for you to focus on?
Well, I was a banker for 25 years, and I spent 20 of my years, I spent 15 years managing SBA departments. And they're government loans, heavily regulated. And I figured out a long time ago that if I'm going to have a clean department, I have to have good systems in place. And I developed a knack for creating systems and became very good at it. I can create a system for anything. Well, when I went into the sales side of banking, which is where I spent my last 5 years, and I got my first dream prospect. This was a company that had 7-figure deposits, great lending needs. And we were in competition with 2 other banks. And part of that business owner's decision process was he had his office manager interview the 3 of us bankers. And in that interview, she asked me, are you going to be one of those bankers that we always hear from in the beginning, and then you get our business and we never hear from you again? Well, it was in that moment that I realized, okay, there's an extension of following up, and it's called staying in touch, because so often people will transact business, and then they drop the relationship. And so I thought, I told myself, okay, if we get the business, I got to figure out how to do this. Well, we got the business, and I fell back on what I knew how to do, which was create systems. So I created systems and timelines for the prospecting stage and also for the staying in touch stage. And then throughout my last 5 years of banking, I always heard comments. You always stay in touch. You always call when you say you will. You never forget my birthday. And there was like this intrigue in these comments. And so when I left banking, I'd heard it enough that I thought, there's something here. Because to me, I wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. And
right.
I thought, maybe I'll share what I do. So I started speaking on it, and I learned really quickly that, in general, people are not good at follow-up. By their own admission, they're very honest about it. And it just evolved into this, you know, I started speaking and coaching and teaching workshops. And like you said, I've written 2 books on the subject. And it's evolved, and I feel like I feel like I have a responsibility, because there's such a need. People are leaving so much success on the table. They're not optimizing what they have in front of them because they simply don't know how to follow up and stay in touch and take care of the people who are important to them.
That's pretty powerful right there, Wanda. I mean, I agree. And again, I say this and I'm pointing the finger right at myself because, you know, so many of us, it's not, I mean, I hate to use the phrase, it's not rocket science, but
exactly.
It is such a big animal that it's like, you know, give me a success story of how, I know you've got many, but give us an example of a client that, you know, really started to change their business through results based on the fact that they implemented a follow-up system. Can you share, you know, one of your kind of client success stories, if you don't mind?
Yeah. So I have a client. She is in marketing and advertising, and she was really just so frustrated and even questioning if she should even be in this industry anymore because it just wasn't coming together for her. And I spoke at an event, and she signed up for my coaching, and she had no system, which is very typical. People are just running all over haphazardly. It's like the hamster on the wheel, running, and not really getting any for you. Going out, you're networking, meeting people, collecting business cards, doing nothing with them because they don't know what to do or how to systematize that. And her business doubled within 60
wow.
days of getting these systems in place. And it's funny, she had emailed me, she said, tell me she had lost 5 pounds since, and I said, well, I can't promote it as a weight loss program. However, she was a stress eater, and she was so stressed out. But these systems and timelines brought order into her business. And here's my other passion and reason for doing this. People are losing their joy today. And the reason is because when you're not getting that follow-up work done, it's a heavy load. You feel guilty, embarrassed, frustrated. You're mad at yourself because you know you're losing business. And you carry this bag of negative emotions with you everywhere you go. And it zaps your joy. It zaps your energy. Well, when you learn how to get, and it's a skill. That's all it is. When you learn this skill and get that important work done every working day, it allows you to be present in everything else you're doing, and that's how you start getting your joy back.
That's pretty powerful. I mean, there also is a tipping point, isn't there? I mean, what would you suggest for somebody that, and again, I know this is getting into the whole sales process, but from the standpoint of following up, you know, there's a point where you kind of go, okay, you know, let the Wookiee win or something. Because I remember in the days when I ran a corporate gift business, there was a gentleman that was just, he called every 3 months. And the guy was trying to get a vendor relationship with us. And so, I mean, he called every 3 months, said the same thing, did the same things. I said, not now. You know, I didn't want to say no and close the door, which I probably should have. I mean, that's why I'm at full admission. But he just kept following up, and nothing ever got accomplished. So when is there a point that you kind of say, oh, okay, now you gotta kind of fight the fight you can win? So when is it not okay to follow up, or is there a time?
Well, I say if you knew the prospect was injured, well, in the example you just spoke about, he kept following up in the same way.
Right.
And that gets boring, it's ineffective, and you probably became numb to it to some degree. So
yeah.
When he was what I was talking about earlier, he was staying in periodic touch with you. That's why I always say ask permission. Michelle, I understand this isn't a good, you know, it doesn't sound like this is really a good fit. Would it be okay if I stayed in periodic touch? But then you have to mix up the touches, so that it doesn't become boring and ineffective, and that it's not always about are you ready to do business, because that can get very irritating. You know, had he thrown in maybe a holiday card or sent you an email that had nothing to do with it, like if he had gotten to know you a little bit, or maybe he read a great article on gift baskets, you know, something that shows his level of interest in you beyond just your business. That is how you start establishing relationships, quality relationships, and loyalty. You might have had a different opinion of him had he touched you in different ways.
And he said the same things as well, so
yeah,
I agree. Yeah. That should have been a different approach.
It should have, yeah. So and then let's say if you just said no or you ignored it, I always say give it at least a year, and people go, what, a year? But if you're staying in touch, let's say quarterly, that doesn't take long at all. It takes a minute or two to do something with that person once every 3 months. But there's timelines that you follow. But, okay, I've shared these sales statistics before. 80% of sales are made between the 5th and 12th contact. But only 10% of salespeople make 3 or more. So when you're in, and I track my contacts very closely, and I'm right in that 80%. I wish I could say it were different, but it's not. You've got to be able to mix it up. If you're contacting somebody for the 10th time, you've got to be able to mix it up. You have to have a system and timelines that keep you on track and in order so that you don't have to think about it. That's the other thing that systems do. You don't have to think, okay, what should I do today? Thinking wastes time. And so when you have your system set up, it's already in place. You know exactly what to do. It's very efficient and productive.
Well, and I think call avoidance or follow-up avoidance, talk about too where, for some people, I think it's the follow-up. I kind of say it's the arm's length barrier where sometimes, just give me the bad news. It's like you follow up, and most people just have whatever the reason is, they just want to do it on email. And email is kind of like texting where, breakups are easy to do on text or email. So I'm kind of curious your thoughts on following up, with email or texts or, because today's 20-somethings, that's how they do stuff, or even in business. So many people don't want to meet face-to-face or make a phone call. They just want to email. But I think email is an easy way to hear no because you're not on their radar. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of people hide behind email because of that two-letter word, which is no. But I just spoke to some young people on Saturday, and I told them technology is great, and yes, it's quick, easy, fast, but you have to remember we are human beings who need human interaction for the well-being of our relationship. So you have to mix it up. Now, when following up, I firmly believe you use the phone first. The phone is the most effective tool we have. I can cover with you in a two-minute conversation, which could take me 4 days and 5 emails. When I'm over the phone, I can hear your voice. I can hear your interest. You can hear my tone of voice. You can hear my interest. It humanizes the relationship and the follow-up. So I hear, well, I don't have time to make calls. Well, you call 10 people, you might get 2 voices, maybe. So how long does it take to leave a message? Most likely you're going to leave a message. It takes about a minute.
That's true. And I think the other thing that we've heard through the years is always, well, I leave a message, but nobody ever calls me back. Which is another whole thing. People feel like, do you always leave a message? Any thoughts on that for some of our listeners to kind of say, if you are following up by phone, and, a lot of times today people are not real, attention to their phones. I've always been surprised when I've reached people via phone because I'm like, whoa, you actually answered the phone, and now with the cell phones and everything. But, yeah, what are your tips or suggestions on whether people should leave a message? And then what do you do if people don't call you back, which I find happens a lot?
Yes, so what I suggest is you leave a message and then you follow up with an email. I left you a message and thought I would email as well. The reason I suggest you do that is because, there's people who don't return phone calls, but they'll return your email much quicker. Mm-hmm. And if they hear your voicemail, they'll delete it. Well, it's out of sight, out of mind, but there's a good chance they're going to leave the email in their inbox. So it's harder to forget about you. So you do both. And then when you get really good at this, when you first start doing it, when you're making the call, the thought is don't answer, right? Because I'd rather just send an email. Well, but the more you do this and the thicker your skin gets and the bigger your follow-up muscle gets, when you're calling, you're saying answer, because I don't want to have to send an email now. You see, because you're going to see the power of it. So you do both, and it doesn't take long. It does not take long, and you don't send lengthy emails. We talked last week. You thought this would be a good time to follow up, checking back in to see if you'd like to move forward. How long does it take to type that out? Not very long. So you use
them
both.
That.
Yeah.
Good. Well, and let me ask you this. It's like, because I can't believe how fast our time goes, and I want to kind of hear, some of the other kind of common hurdles that you hear people say other than keeping the emotion out or call avoidance. But if people want more information, because I think you have got a very unique skill set that's very niche-oriented, which I have a firm belief there's riches in niches, and I think anybody can improve their follow-up systems. How could people reach you? Where can they find your book? Kind of give us a way to contact you.
Okay. Well, they can find my book on Amazon, and it's also on my website, and my website is followupsalesstrategies.com. And all
I do... You do all kinds of programs, right? So other than your book, if people want to have a conversation with you or find out about your services, you do consulting, coaching, all of it, teaching, training?
Yes. So I teach workshops to sales teams. I speak to business organizations, networking groups, and I do individual coaching programs.
Awesome. I think most of it's in our head, but that's just my two cents on it. Once we get over the system, you're right. You got to get it out of the emotion. But what else, what can you wrap up with us as two of maybe the other biggest challenges you see people have with following up that, you know, you can kind of leave us with beyond the get the emotion out of it and having the system? Because those are two, those are great.
Okay. The first, I'll give you two. The first one is the number one reason why people tell me they can't get their follow-up work done is because they don't have the time. They're just simply too busy. And my tip is it is never, ever about the time. It's just not a high enough priority. You get done, you structure your day around what's important and what's a priority. So it's not about the time. It's just a not high enough priority. And then my second tip that I'll give you is the reason 90% of people quit after two tries with a prospect is because when they follow up with a prospect twice and the prospect doesn't respond, they then assume the prospect isn't interested. And what they're doing is they're making the buying decision for the prospect. And nobody's qualified to do that because we don't know what's going on in the prospect's life. And we don't have a crystal ball that can predict the future. So just remind yourself that 80% of sales are made between the 5th and 12th contact. And just because you've tried twice doesn't mean they're not interested. So don't make that assumption. When people make that assumption, they're pulling themselves out of the game and they're going to lose.
Yeah, pretty good one. I mean, and what do you, when you start talking about the follow-up and you take that emotion out of it and, you know, now it's like you're on that third or fourth touch. It's like, do you just reach out and say, hey, I was just following up to say hi and, you know, oh, by the way, any news, any decision? I mean, do you get that direct with people on your follow-up, or what do you recommend as a final hurrah?
Yeah, I do. I'd say the first four contacts are definitely about them doing business. And I have a whole timeline teach that it is the first four is about business. Then you start backing up a little bit, start giving them a little more room. And it's very respectful. And you could follow up till the end of time. And they won't forget about you, and you won't forget about them. So, the first four times, yeah, you've got to follow up, and it's got to be about them doing business with you.
Girl, you have a lot to share. So, to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed. I can't believe our time's up, Wanda, but I want to say thank you to you for being our leading lady. I hope if any of you have questions, you will buy Wanda's book on Amazon, which again, follow up strategies, right? And it's how to get more clients and close more sales with a follow-up system. You've been an absolute delight. I want to say thank you to our listeners because we'll be back again next Monday morning for another Women Leading the Way radio show. We are also here on Fridays, and my guest this Friday is in celebration of Independence Day and July 4th. We are going to be interviewing a woman veteran, Denica Glam, who is going to talk about her journey from the military and being a woman veteran and running a small business. So I'm excited about that. I am Michelle Berquist, your host of Women Lead Radio, and I want to thank all of you for listening. Have a tremendously fabulous week, and go out there and support one another as professional women. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.